Hi, I'm Rod.
I'm Yasmina. Welcome to Life Track.
Today we're talking about celebrating intercultural holidays as a mixed couple.
A big topic in a... we can talk a lot about...
Well, yeah, and we should probably start with some background. I grew up here in the U.S., although I have traveled around the world a bit with the military and in my time before you and I got married and met each other and all that. And you?
Yeah, I grew up in Bermuda Islands for part of it, and then moved to Morocco, North Africa, and...
When you were like 9?
Yeah, 9, 10, about 10 years old, and grew up there. And so my dad wanted us to move us back. We grew up in Bermuda, so he wanted the family to move to Morocco just so we can embrace the culture, learn Arabic, because we were becoming way too westernized. And of course, being with family, which now as an adult with children, I can totally see that. You start to get homesick and you want your kids to grow up to learn the language. So, and then I immigrated here when I was 19, 20 years old. I moved here.
And it should also be added that while you were living in Morocco, you were going to an American school.
Yeah.
And so you came to the U.S. already speaking English and mm-hmm. all of that. So you have a pretty good education in the Western world, even though you spent a good portion of your life growing up in Morocco.
Yeah, so I can definitely transition between two cultures somewhat pretty seamlessly, which has been pretty awesome to do. But so this last week, it's just a couple days ago, Thursday was Eid, was the end of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And Eid was on Thursday, but we're all working, and you know, as most places, they don't really recognize Eid here in the U.S. as an actual holiday. So we celebrated it on Friday. We hosted at our house. My mom came, and a couple of fellow Moroccans came as well, and another couple that's a mixed couple. So we had quite a mix of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I mean, all things considered, we have had a Hispanic couple over here. We have a couple that's from Pakistan and Morocco. Your mom here from Morocco.
Yeah, another couple that was American Moroccan.
A good mix of folks.
Yep. And so lots of food as usual, and which I was really grateful, you know, of you helping me put this together. It was definitely more low key than it would have been. In Morocco, it's very much
all about the food.
All about the food and all about the people. Mm-hmm. And you know, you really are relying on this community to bring this culture together. And so typically you wake up in the morning, everyone is in their brand new outfit. So you all get all new outfits and you go visit different people. It's all about visiting people and have breakfast and lunch, and you spend the day visiting people and eating lots and lots of food. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to replicate that here in the U.S. If you live in more of a larger community where whatever your background is, like whether it's like Russian or Romanian or whatever your cultural background is, if you are in a place where there are multiple folks from the same background, I think it's a little bit easier to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Here, everybody's got the same mm-hmm. mindset.
Exactly, yeah.
Expectations.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
Here it's not so much. It's definitely more scattered. And so we have been reaching out and connecting with our fellow Moroccans just kind of randomly, really. I mean, there's not like...
people while you're out shopping and... Hear somebody speaking Moroccan.
Well,
Arabic.
My mom and I were sitting having coffee one day downtown, and mm-hmm. this guy walks by. And he was like, "Are you guys from Morocco?" And it just turns out, and you know, now we're friends on Facebook, and that's how you connect. So where am I going with that? You're kind of like my lead. You're just watching me speak.
Well, we can talk a little bit about coming into what we did this year, and then. Then sort of going off of that, but like this year for Eid, as you were beginning to talk about Eid, we invited a whole bunch of people here, all those people we just mentioned.
And it was super nice that oh yeah, I was going to go into the vaccine, but I'm like,
oh, well, yeah.
Like, where it was outside and everyone was pretty much vaccinated. So it was actually a perfect timing that we were able to invite.
Not have to wear masks because everybody's vaccinated. And it was a beautiful sunny day. And we had lots of food and everybody just hanging out and talking. And it was very cheerful. Had some Arabic music in the background. I think it would just went really, really smoothly overall. And like you said just now, and people seemed to enjoy it and wrote us about it afterwards.
Yeah, and then again, like I was telling you earlier when we were thinking about talking about this topic, is just again creating this space where people who have immigrated here, you know, this country is, you know, we're all immigrants who have, mm-hmm. who've here in the U.S. and some of us who, you know, our parents are not here. It's really, really difficult. And I talk about this whole maintaining your identity. You are somewhat in trying to figure out, you know, bridge those two things together because it is more of a Western culture. You're disconnected to your community, disconnected to your family, your holidays. Mm-hmm. And so part of these cultures and traditions, they make up of who you are. And so if they're not, if you don't celebrate them, and year after year, you're finding yourself, you know, celebrating Christmas and Thanksgiving, because those are the dominant cultures in this country.
Yep.
Not that it's a bad thing. It's you slowly, you know, you mold into or transforming into just this different person and kind of how you think. And I can feel that slowly moving away, and I'm trying to preserve that.
Well, and your point earlier was that, as we were talking about this, was that it was, even though I'm Christian and you're Muslim, it's not really about, because we're not exactly practicing, mm-hmm. Either of us, but it's more about a cultural difference than it is about a religious difference.
Yeah, I think if we were both practicing, it would be really difficult, just because, you know, you want to celebrate that with your spouse. And if your spouse, you know, like, I'm fine going to a church with you, but over time, it's like, it's not my thing. Mm-hmm. And if that continues to be your thing, I think that would definitely divide us. But luckily for us, like I said, you know, we're not, you know, practicing, but culturally, I think sometimes that can be a challenge, especially if you're finding you're not really celebrating what your family and community. It's kind of hard being in a foreign place when your family members are sending you photos. You know, it's like you being somewhere else and Christmas goes by and like nobody's wishing you a happy Christmas or there's no gifts. And
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what I thought was cool about what those articles I read to you or commented on the other day from Upworthy that were on Instagram, of, you know, different people running into Muslims in New York and wishing them Eid Mubarak or things like that, even though they themselves aren't Muslim, just trying to be human and reach out to somebody else. And
yeah, because that's part of you.
Their holiday.
You know, yeah. It's like, again, those cultures and traditions make, that's what makes up who you are as a person.
Yeah. And yeah. You have to feel pretty dispossessed being in a foreign country where nobody else is or very few people are practicing the same or celebrating the same holidays and all of that. So you don't really get to enjoy it to its fullest because none of the culture around you celebrates it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, and so for, I know we were talking a little bit about our background, again, being here for 20 years and mm-hmm. previously married and again was non-Muslim, mm-hmm. non-Moroccan. And so I had the same, I wouldn't say it's a different problem, but it was same scenario. You know, I tried to do aid a few times and people were willing to come and celebrate, but it's all on you.
Right.
You know, like, oh yeah, sure, let us know. And so now you're just equipped to put together this holiday or tradition that's like centuries old, and however old it is, and then it's just you trying to figure that out, like, and so it's just a lot of pressure this time around.
Meaning having a spouse that supports you or doesn't support you as you try to do this with whatever community you can scrabble together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know I've said that before, but put on record, you wrote, you know, Ahlan wa Sahlan. And I know it was just such a simple image that you put to, that you drew together on with a crescent moon,
chalkboard.
Yeah. And they just loved it. It just felt so welcoming. Again, it was these little things that showcase, like, yes, my identity, who I am, is alive, and someone else is celebrating that.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. So you came, you found a list that talks about the different things that a intercultural couple needs to focus on or think about when looking at celebrating holidays and all that as a mixed couple.
Yeah, and I want to, before I say that, you know, as we had our conversation this morning, a long, lengthy one, it was, I kept saying, like, there are cultural differences.
No.
And I thought, like, I was crazy when I saw this list. I'm like, yes, this is exactly how I was feeling. And I just couldn't articulate it. And you and I, of course, we get along great. When a lot of it is that we're so similar, even though we have different backgrounds, we are so similar. But there are some things, there are cultural differences. They're not huge, just because I think I'm so much more westernized and I have adapted here, you know, for so long. It's easier for me to blend in. Like, I celebrate Christmas, I celebrate Thanksgiving, all of those types of things. But I can still slowly feel my identity just kind of slipping away, and how do you hold on to that? And so when I found this list for intercultural marriages, I'm like, yes, that's exactly, you know, I think it's a good cheat sheet for
not going full Valley Girl. Yeah. Yeah, no, so the number one thing you had on your list was embrace differences.
For sure, yeah. I think because we, you know, even just here in the U.S., you do things differently, whether your spouse is from the South or from the East Coast, you know, those family traditions that you're bringing into the marriage, again, that's who you are. And so if your spouse is like, this is crazy, we don't do that anymore, that's part of you that just is not being fully accepted. And so, you know, like with you for Christmas and stuff like that, I don't know if we have any crazy celebration, just kind of the norm, but it's embracing that. I don't do a tree.
Well, and by embracing it, it doesn't mean just allowing it. Like, oh, you want to do this for Christmas, or you want to do that for Eid or whatever. Okay, I'll let you, spouse, you know, I'll let you do this. Go ahead and do your thing. It's not allowing it, it's embracing it, it's being a part of it, it's celebrating it with them, you know, making it joyous, making it fun for your spouse who wants to celebrate that holiday.
Yeah, exactly. If you were like, you know, obviously you were fine with having Eid here, in fact you were the one who was like, why don't we have it at our house? If you just sat in your office and here I was like cooking up a storm and preparing and you just showed up because you're like, that's not my holiday, that would have definitely not been helpful at all.
No.
But you were right there, you know, grilling up the steak, doing a little design, finding the music to kind of, you know, create this atmosphere. That's what it is. You are embracing it and welcoming everyone. Just, and also showcases other people too. Like, I know that there's people kill each other over, you know, Christians and Muslims and Jews and Muslims. Is you're also showcasing other people to Muslims that, you know, yes, I'm non-Muslim, but, you know, I too can celebrate and be welcoming. And
yeah, exactly. And we had some other friends over here that were Christian.
Yeah.
And they had a great time and enjoyed spending the time with everybody, even though it's not a holiday that they celebrate.
Yeah. So before we, I know this list is like, I know I want to make sure we got our break time in, but.
Sure. Yeah. We can go ahead and take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Okay. Welcome back from the break. So we just talked a little bit about embracing differences, which are the first of about 7 items on this list. And the next one was...
Educate yourself.
You say that like, respect yourself. Yeah.
Educate yourself.
Educate yourself.
Go out, Actually, you don't have to go out. Google. Just Google it. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times, and I find this not just in culture, I see it in religion. People were like, you know, well, tell me more about Islam. Like, I don't know if I can tell you a whole lot because I don't know a lot. Google it. Find out more or read about it. Learn a little bit more about different traditions that your spouse is celebrating and bring that to the relationship. Don't expect the spouse to do everything for you. And I know I don't like to talk too much about my past and past relationships, mm-hmm. but there was one time where it was Eid, and spouse bashing here, but you know, he had provided some presents for the kids and then left them on the table with a note and then went to bed. And so I try to say, this would be an equivalent to me saying, oh, it's Christmas, here are some gifts. I'm gonna go take a nap and have a fun holiday. It's like, yeah. You completely dismissed the fact that this is such a huge event. Right. So like, educate yourself and what that means. What does Eid mean to millions of people around the world?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you, at least as the spouse in the relationship that's not celebrating that particular holiday, like for you, Christmas, for me, Eid or whatever, go and educate yourself a little bit, find out something interesting about it, and then bring that to the table. You might not get it perfect, but it shows your spouse that you care, that you're trying, that you're doing something to participate.
Exactly.
Okay, so the third one was pay equal attention to both cultures.
Whatever, it doesn't.
What?
I think this is actually one of my favorite ones because I think we just said that before. Again, being in this country, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving, it's just, I think it too is the consumerism, you know, marketing. It's just such a dominant Christmas time. A lot of times people have no idea what the meaning of Christmas is. It's just more about the presents and things like that.
Yeah.
And so how do you pay equal attention to that is, you know, just making sure that when Ramadan comes along, Eid comes along, that you're making it, you know, equal effort where, you know, Christmas comes along and it's just...
it is definitely difficult to make exactly equal effort. Admittedly, Christmas here seems to start in October. It's ridiculous. And then it's the whole month long of just, you know, December for sure. Ramping up and stuff on houses and front yards and blow up things and yeah. Yeah, it's nuts.
Even if you don't celebrate it,
it's in your people, face. Yeah, everywhere. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm Christian, so I'm not taking anything away from it exactly. But then when I look at it from your perspective, it's hard to give the same sort of billing to Eid that like a Christmas would get, you know. There's just no way in this society. But where you and I are concerned, whatever I can do to support that and make you feel like you're getting at least a slice of what it should be like, you know, then I want to do whatever I can do. I know right from the get-go that it's never going to be like being back in Morocco and being able to celebrate.
Yeah, I think, and to be honest, I think that is the challenge. So that is one of the challenges.
Yeah.
So the fourth one is learn the language to communicate in a better way.
What does that mean exactly?
I think to
learn. Have to learn Arabic?
Yep.
Dang it. Moroccan Arabic?
Which you've tried. I think this one doesn't apply to us, but I could see how, you know, couples who, you know, English maybe not be their first language, that would be really helpful. But in our case, it's not, so.
Yeah, English is both of our first language. Mm-hmm. I did try to learn Moroccan Arabic.
I know. I think once the kids are older and we have more time to spend in Morocco and we travel back and forth, I do think that it'll you'll pick up some words here and there that you'll just hear often enough. You know, we take some, spend some time. So I think you have to be immersed in a language, because it's not like Spanish where you can get, have an app and you can pick up Spanish or Italian.
Yeah, that's the problem with Moroccan Arabic, is that it's not even Arabic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Arabic, but it's more like a dialect of Arabic, and a mixture of other things too.
But I think the small things too, when people say Eid Mubarak, you can say, you know, Eid Mubarak.
Yeah.
You can say it back. What I do see a lot of times is that people are so hesitant to say it wrong that I, you know, to say it. And a lot of times non-English speakers or non-natives who are English not their native language, they're having to speak English with an accent. I mean, it's can be stressful for them.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I do find Americans hesitant because it doesn't sound right. And just say it. It's okay. Yeah.
Well, I mentioned that another upworthy thing the other day, where some lady got on a plane and the guy next to her, who had obviously been trying to practice, said, "Assalamu alaikum," you know, and he didn't say it exactly right. And he, you know, but he tried. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, she was probably wearing a hijab, which is why he recognized that it would be something to say to somebody who was Muslim. But, you know, I think she educated him on how to say it right and all of that. And they obviously, you know, got along fine and had a conversation. But the fact that he started out by at least trying is hugely important. It's like the adage that people love the sound of their own name, but people love the sound of their own language, mm-hmm. too.
It's an immediate connection.
Yeah.
You know, if you want, if you know, if, obviously with someone with a hijab, you can quickly identify that they're a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And yes, salam alaikum, right off the bat, you've established, you know, I mean, it's like the translation, peace be upon you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And just from an American perspective, just because you're being human and you're reaching out to somebody doesn't mean you're embracing all of their culture, or that you necessarily agree with everything that this other human being might think or anything else. Mm-hmm. It just means you're being human. You're being a good fellow planetary citizen to somebody else who's another human being.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so number, what is it, 5? Have patience.
You have a lot of patience. I mean, you do. And this is for other people. So obviously, depending on where you're at, I say that this would be a big one, is to, you know, you're not going to learn the person's culture within a year. There's not a fast process. Maybe this requires you to travel to their country, or just travel to the country and celebrating during that time. But it's...
Or it could be even little things like having to deal with in-laws, mm-hmm. you know, that and their practices or their ways that they want to do things, which may be different than the way you want to do things.
They're always different. You have a lot of patience. With my parents being here, you definitely have a lot of patience, because there are, again, those cultural differences. Like when you go visit someone, I mean, now my mom knows this, but the biggest thing is eating. Like their whole existence is to feed you. And if you're not accepting their food, and you know, you show up to their house and you don't want to eat anything at all, it's, you know, I mean, back home it's considered rude.
Although when we were in Morocco, I kept saying the adage that quietly that I was pretty sure your parents were trying to murder me with food.
My parents and everyone else. cool.
Eat. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just having, there are a lot of cultural differences. I mean, for me, I think I'm lucky in the sense that my parents did live abroad. And so you're married into a family to where they, you know, they speak English. Exactly. But there's a lot of folks who, you know, if I had parents that didn't speak any English and they might have had to live with me, there's a lot of folks who are having to bring their parents to live with them. I know folks with because from Syria, you know, having to immigrate here because we're refugees. And
And what an amount of patience that must require, because mm-hmm. every little thing, things that you would never think that this is going to cause some divide or it's going to be a problem, you know, they just do differently. Like actually your mom, when we first moved her into our rental house, and she grabbed a bucket of water and poured it onto the floor, right? And then was going to mop the floors, which her intent was good.
Yeah.
To clean the floors and everything.
But we don't have tile floors.
No, exactly. It's wooden floor. You don't just... You
dump water all over it.
You know? And your mom was embarrassed. And she's like, I actually knew that.
Yeah, but if you just lost... You know, you just lost it and got all angry, you know.
Oh, yeah, then it would have been.
Exactly, yeah. And, I mean, I'm always interested. I don't know if we know any other couples who have, like, intercultural marriages. But, you know, once we get to that point, if we have any feedback, I would love to hear, like, what are some of those challenges
people... Yeah, or funny stories.
Or funny stories that people are experiencing in their own intercultural marriages or even interracial marriages.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, what's the next one after have patience?
Discuss how to make it work. I think, you know, in our sense, I think it has been more easier because I feel like I'm more westernized. Like, I speak the language.
Yeah.
And now if you had met me years ago, you would have been like, what the heck? Why would you do that? Because I was doing things that just didn't make any sense to you. It made sense to me.
Like, what's a good example?
I used to wash clothes in my bathtub because I was trying to conserve on water, and I grew up... I grew up washing clothes by hand.
Yeah.
And to me, it was easier to just take my laundry, put them in the bathtub, put some soap in it, and wash them, wring them out, and hang them to dry. Guess what? My mom does the exact same thing. So when we go to her house, she has that rope that she hangs up around the gazebo, and she hangs some of her clothes up there to dry.
That she washes by hand.
Oh yeah, washes by hand.
See, now I thought that was just coming out of the wash and being put over there.
Oh no, she's washing like I would say like underwear, small no, not underwear, maybe not, but like small things, and then hanging them to dry because it's really quick.
Yeah,
you're gonna run the dishwasher. She's never run the dishwasher before.
No, it's all by hand, yeah. We just bought a new dishwasher for nothing.
Well, I mean, because it needed to happen in there, but...
Yeah.
Trying to think of some of the things that my parents do that just... You know, like, I just don't do anymore because it's just not...
Yeah.
Nothing's coming to mind. But yeah, I definitely used to wash my clothes by hand.
So this particular topic was discuss how to make it work. One thing I will say you and I do well is we do discuss things. We do work through differences. We talk things out. And I think that if you are up against something where, like the previous one was have patience, if you're up against something that's requiring you to have a lot of patience because you're like, what in the heck? You have to then at some point stop and take some time to discuss, like, how are we going to make this work?
Yeah. And I would say, you know, being in this country, and it is the culture here, the white culture is the dominant culture.
Yeah.
And so if your spouse is of the dominant culture, I would encourage that person as the person to reach out, because a lot of times you're the person who immigrated here is that they don't know, like, what they're trying to still figure it out themselves.
The cultural norms or their own background.
Exactly. Well, their own background in order to integrate into what their culture should be here.
Right.
It's a little bit different if it's two cultures, you know, completely different, and both of you are a minority here, and that's another conversation.
Yeah,
think those can pose challenges as well, because they're not, you don't want them to compete against one another, but you're also trying to celebrate both of them. But in our case, it's the, you know, the white, I would say white culture, I guess the dominant culture, and then an immigrant, and how do you make those two work? Is I would encourage that person to do extra reading and reaching out and finding out how they could accommodate.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like that whole thing about marriage is not a 50-50 endeavor. It's 100-100. You know, you giving 100%, your spouse giving 100%, trying to reach out, understand each other, understand, you know, all the ins and outs of what makes this thing tick.
Yeah. Because we're also proud of, obviously, of our country, of our culture, you know.
Yeah, your background.
If you talk to Moroccans, Moroccan food is the best.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love Moroccan food, but I also love Thai food. Yeah. In fact, it's my favorite food.
Yeah.
And so how do you sometimes, and then you also have, like, your family, you know, want, and then when you bring kids involved in it, you know, how are you going to raise your kids? I know when I first... the kids, everyone's like, do they speak Arabic? You know, they want them to speak Arabic. And I felt like I completely failed because they don't speak Arabic. Mm. But it's one of those, it's hard to continue these types of, that type of lifestyle in America.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with so many other things.
Yeah. So the last topic there was learn to be tolerant. And I didn't mean to cut you off, by the way.
No, go ahead.
But was learn to be tolerant. And I think that obviously those go, a lot of these go hand in hand with each other, you know, have patience and learn to be tolerant, for instance, are really similar. But some things you just got to let go. Have some patience for your spouse, for their family, for all of that, or be tolerant of the differences that are going to exist, because there's just going to be. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to, like you have said to me, you know, a number of times, or to other people, you know, who want to buy you a gift, for instance, on Christmas. And you're like, it's not my holiday. Like, I'm happy to be around and hang out with you guys and celebrate your holiday with you, but I don't need gifts because it's not my holiday. And yet, your friends in the past just bought you gifts anyway.
Mm-hmm. And told Toby, and I know. And actually, it's not until recently that I started saying that. Before, I just kind of would go with it because I felt like, it was kind of rude of me.
Yeah.
And recently, I've been more vocal in saying, no, it's not my holiday. I don't mind celebrating it with you.
Right.
So you definitely don't have to get me a present. But I've also been told, like, oh, well, what would you open on Christmas Day? You won't have any presents under the tree.
But that's crazy. You can't not have a present.
Exactly. That's the part then it really bugs me, because now you're assuming, you know, or... the word, usually you jump in and like finish my thought for me.
Well, those people don't, it's not a negative intention or anything. They believe they're doing you a kindness, that they're trying to include you and all those other kinds of things, that we're being inclusive, right?
Yeah, by dominating and putting our culture onto you.
Yeah. But the fact that you have been very tolerant in the situation, and kind of gone with the flow up to a point. I think when the relationship and the understanding between people matures enough, then you can be more direct.
I really don't
want a present. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Or looking at that from the other perspective, when a bunch of Moroccans get together, it's going to be loud. Because Moroccans talk to each other loud.
What? We're very quiet people.
Whatever.
Our hands are like by our don't sides.
Move. Yeah.
They don't move.
Yeah, it gets really passionate. And
the crowd can grow. Like this was, I think because it was small, I think because of COVID too, but you know, once it that size can like multiply, and
oh,
next
yeah.
thing you know,
quickly.
You have like 50.
Yeah, because your friends then start inviting their
exactly.
friends.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But from my perspective, then being tolerant of that and understand, like I'm an introvert, so, and I like talking. I'm doing a podcast with you, but I like sharing stuff. I like visiting with people and all of that. There does come this threshold where it becomes too much for me a little bit, and I end up sort of sitting back and taking a back seat or whatever. But I'm tolerant of the idea that this is giving you happiness. This is giving you joy to be spending time and talking and really digging into a conversation with your mom and your sister and other people.
Yeah, for sure. Especially even for my kids to just to see that. And so when you're an immigrant here, you have, depending on your situation and the, it all depends on this, your, where you're living and how many people of the same culture where you're at, but you're having to do, yeah, for sure. I'm an introvert as well. I feel like I'm more of an introvert than you are, but you tend to do things that you normally would not have done in your own country because you're really trying to, again, is to maintain this culture, maintain this identity. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, back home, there's 50, 60, 70 people. I'm more of the type where I'm going to be like, peek in and then sit in, you know, in the background. That would not have been my thing, like doing, you know, cooking up a storm, because there's other people to do that for you.
Right.
But when you're here, you're the cook, you're the organizer, you know, you have to perform all these different functions. Because you're creating this culture, and if you don't, your kids don't get to see, you know, get to experience that. And yeah, I think that's what happened for me for many, many years. You know, my ex did not tolerate, you know, all those folks, and I didn't want to impose on anyone, and I didn't want to. Now I'm just like, nope, this is, it's happening. And, you know, mm-hmm. one day out of the year, you know, it's gonna, you know, it's not gonna be a burden to anyone else. So I'm just learning that I need to push forward, and you kind of have to be a little bit assertive in creating those spaces. Otherwise,
And I think from a dominant cultural perspective for me, or for anybody like in this country who's married to an immigrant, making sure you stop and look at it from the other perspective. Because if I was in Morocco, and Chris, as you said earlier, Christmas came and went, and nobody else celebrated it or did anything, or, you know, whatever, it can be lonely. It can make you feel, just out of your element. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the same sort of cultural support around you like you would living back here. And so, I mean, that's a reminder to all of us who are already in the dominant culture, that you're doing for your spouse what you would want to have done for you. And I would say anybody who has not left this country or not gone to other places and spent holidays abroad, that's a good perspective to go give yourself. I have spent many Christmases and other holidays far away from home, you know, thousands and thousands of miles, and in different cultures. And even though, like Germany and Italy have a lot of the same holidays and all of that, it's still, you know, I'm not out celebrating with them, and I'm certainly not with family. And so even though I don't get the full taste of you have to experience here, at least I can understand it somewhat and have some compassion for it.
Yeah, I think that's the part, being tolerant, which I don't really like the word tolerant. I would have changed that to something else, but I agree. Those are just understanding, putting yourself in your spouse's shoes and kind of seeing it from their perspective. And I think that you would have, you would approach things differently, and mm-hmm. we're just, yeah, just approach it differently.
Yeah, and not being the typical, quote, ugly American, and, well, you're in our country now, so, you are.
Well, you're an American now. It's like, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not Moroccan anymore either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, human beings are a lot denser, a lot more complicated, a lot more going on than just to say, well, no, I'm an American and I ditch my past now. That's just unrealistic.
Yeah.
To expect of somebody, so have some compassion.
Yeah, and educating even to your spouse and even people around you. I mean, for me, it meant a lot when my friend sent me a message saying Eid Mubarak, and even on Facebook, it just, even again, during Hanukkah, during other holidays, you know, celebrating Juneteenth, or, you know, now I'm trying to think of all the different holidays, but, you know, reaching out to your friends, your circle of friends, and just acknowledging that, I think that's, of course, your spouse is, this is more about spouse, but extending that even to your friends and the circle of friends, and knowing people all the time, Merry Christmas, send me text messages. Yeah. And I send it back, Merry Christmas to you too.
Yeah.
Don't celebrate Christmas, but it's okay. So.
So, any other closing thoughts on this subject?
No, I think that list, I mean, I know that there is more to it, but I thought that that was a really concise list and a cheat sheet or a conversation starter that you can start with your spouse.
Should I read it one more time? Just the topics?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, embrace your differences, educate yourself, pay equal attention to both cultures, learn the language to better communicate, have patience, discuss how to make it work, and learn to be tolerant.
Well, thank you all for joining us, and we hope you get something out of this talk. Thank you.